You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease du Jour podcast. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, and in this episode, I spoke with Dr. Kelly Nickelbein about ocular squamous cell carcinoma. This episode of Disease du Jour is brought to you by Equithrive. Dr. Nickelbein is a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. She completed an internship in equine medicine and surgery at Rhinebeck Equine and a comparative ophthalmology internship at the University of California, Davis. Following this, she completed a residency in comparative ophthalmology at UC Davis. Dr. Nickelbein is a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Ophthalmologists. She thoroughly enjoys the comparative nature of ophthalmology. Her primary interests include equine ophthalmology, heritable ocular disorders, and ophthalmic imaging. Thank you, Dr. Nickelbein, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear your expertise on the subject. To get us started, can you just give us a brief refresher on what ocular squamous cell carcinoma is?
Yeah, absolutely. So squamous cell carcinoma, which is really frequently referred to as SCC, is a type of cancer, specifically an epithelial tumor, and it's the most common tumor to affect horses' eyes. We see it commonly on the eyelids, the third eyelid, and the ocular surface. So the ocular surface includes the conjunctiva and the superficial cornea. When it arises on the ocular surface, it's usually in the lateral bulbar conjunctiva, kind of right at the lateral limbus there, which is that junction between the cornea and sclera. But the reality is tumors can arise at any location on the conjunctiva or the limbus, and they often can extend onto or within the cornea.
What causes ocular SCC and what types of horses are most at risk for the condition?
So there are several known risk factors for SCC, with UV light exposure being a really, really important risk factor. UV exposure causes damage to DNA in the form of pyrimidine dimers. And while this damage can be repaired, if there's too much damage or if there's an inability to repair it really efficiently, it can lead to loss of cell cycle regulation and uncontrolled cellular proliferation resulting in a tumor. We know that pigments, specifically eumelanin, provide some protection from UV damage, and so we really commonly see horses of breeds like Paints, flashy quarter horses with a lot of white on the face, and Appaloosas that lack pigment within the eyelid, skin, and conjunctiva that present with ocular SCC. In addition to UV exposure, we know that genetics plays a really big role in the development of ocular SCC, and this explains why we also see this tumor type commonly in horses that do actually have pigmented eyelids and conjunctiva. The genetic mechanism of ocular squamous cell carcinoma in the Haflinger breed, which is a breed that's really commonly affected by this tumor type, was identified several years ago by a team led by Dr. Rebecca Ballone at the UC Davis Veterinary Genetics Lab. The identified variant is a missense mutation in a gene called DDB2. And the mechanism is actually really interesting. So this gene is involved in the DNA damage recognition and repair process. So the gene encodes a protein that scans the genome looking for UV-induced DNA damage. When it finds it, it calls in other proteins to come help repair that damage. We know that this genetic variant that was initially discovered in Haflingers changes the structure of the protein so that it can no longer scan the genome to find that UV damage. And thus, the damage goes unrepaired and tumors result. So the mechanism of the genetic variant kind of fits perfectly with the known primary risk factor for the disease, which is that UV exposure. So, of course, all horses have UV exposure and therefore are at risk for SCC, but horses with this genetic variant are at a significantly increased risk for developing ocular SCC because they lack the ability to repair UV-induced DNA damage. In addition to the Haflinger, this variant has been found to affect several other breeds, notably the Belgian Draft, which is another breed that's really commonly affected by ocular surface squamous cell carcinoma, as well as Rocky Mountain horses, Connemara ponies, Holsteiners, and then Belgian Warmblood. So a lot of different breeds are commonly affected by this disease.
Do you know how widespread that genetic variant is in halflingers and how it is inherited?
Yeah, so it's pretty prevalent in both halflingers and Belgian drafts, less prevalent in some of the other breeds. The current evidence suggests that it is a recessive inheritance pattern. So horses that have two copies of the genetic variant are going to be, you know, more prone to developing ocular surface squamous cell carcinoma. The current evidence does not support one copy putting the horse at increased risk, but it's possible, you know, with further information that we might find that horses with even one copy are at risk. As a recessive risk factor, we can actually use this as a breeding tool. So just because a horse has, you know, a copy of the variant doesn't mean they can't be used for breeding, but you do want to be careful in your mate selection for your horse that does have a copy to try and minimize the risk of producing a highly at-risk foal.
Okay, interesting. This episode of Disease du Jour is sponsored by Equithrive. Brought to you by Equithrive, the leaders in resveratrol science, Medicare is a new pelleted daily supplement offering metabolic support for easy keepers. Medicare was formulated by Pat Lawless, PhD, to support optimum carbohydrate and fat metabolism, healthy body weight, and appropriate insulin levels in horses, thanks to a proprietary combination of resveratrol, flavonoids, and amino acids. Learn more at www.equithrive.com. What do early clinical signs of SCC look like, and do these mirror other conditions in the early stages?
Yeah, this is a great question because it's really important to catch these tumors early, and they can look a bit different depending on their specific location. So for early ocular surface or third eyelid squamous cell carcinoma, ocular discharge, generally kind of a thick white or thick yellow discharge, may actually be the first clinical sign that is noted. The reason for that is that most of the conjunctiva is kind of hidden underneath the eyelids. And so a tumor can be growing that's not directly visible, but is producing this discharge. So any horse that has kind of unexplained thick ocular discharge should have a really thorough visual examination of all of the conjunctival surfaces, as well as digital palpation of these surfaces and behind the third eyelid to see if there is a tumor hiding that might be causing this sign. Some of the conjunctival and third eyelid tumors may actually be directly visible from the start. And when they are, they can start out as kind of flat, white, or pink plaque-like lesions and then progress to the more typical pink raised proliferative mass. And then early eyelid squamous cell carcinoma generally appears as areas of hyperemia or erosions or ulcerations, and usually occur right along the eyelid margin, so at the mucocutaneous junction where the skin transitions to conjunctiva. One disease that can kind of mimic and look a lot like squamous cell carcinoma is habenomyosis or summer sores. Summer sores are often accompanied by kind of thick, numerous yellow granules, generally occurs at the medial canthus, but sometimes it can be hard to distinguish the two clinically. And so in these cases, a biopsy is your best bet to ensure you know what it is that you're dealing with.
And how quickly does the condition tend to progress?
So in terms of progression with SCC, we need to think about both local invasion as well as the potential for metastasis to the draining lymph nodes or other tissues. SCC is known to be an invasive tumor type that kind of spreads into the local tissue surrounding the primary tumor site. So if it arises on the eyelids, it can invade through the skin down to the underlying muscle and eventually into bone. If it arises on the third eyelid, it can invade down into the orbit and actually wrap around underneath and behind the globe. And then if it arises on the globe itself, it can invade down through the cornea and actually invade into the eye. And then really concerningly, tumors that arise kind of in the medial canthal area can quickly invade the nasolacrimal duct, and then they have kind of a direct pathway into the skull, which is very unfortunate. The speed of local invasion or kind of the aggressiveness of these tumors seems to be pretty horse dependent. Some of them are slow growing, while some grow really, really aggressively and invade tissues rapidly. And then metastasis tends to be something that occurs in later or late stages of disease with really advanced tumors. However, we don't have the ability to detect, you know, really small micrometastases. And just given the size of horses, antemortem detection of gross metastasis in horses can be quite challenging. But a thorough palpation and examination of lymph nodes is important in all cases of ocular squamous cell carcinoma, considering scoping the upper airway and guttural pouches to look for lymphadenopathy in those locations is also a good idea in horses with advanced tumors.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'd love to talk now about some of the treatment options that are currently available for SCC, as well as any new or emerging therapies that you think might impact how we manage this condition in the future.
Yeah, early and aggressive treatment is really going to be the key to success in managing ocular SCC. And this truly is a management disease. Even if you're able to cure one tumor, it's likely that the horse you're treating may develop more tumors at other locations. And so frequent monitoring and then early and aggressive treatment when tumors are detected is really important to allow for affected horses to maintain their eyes. The treatment of SCC generally involves surgical excision of as much of the tumor as is feasible, and then that's followed by some form of adjunctive therapy. So we're limited in the amount of tissue we can remove from the ocular surface or the eyelid while maintaining a functional eye and functional eyelids. And so achieving a tumor-free tissue margin with surgery alone is often not feasible in these locations. And that's why surgery is pretty much always combined with an adjunctive treatment to address the likelihood of residual tumor cells remaining at the surgery site. One caveat to this is squamous cell carcinoma on the leading edge of the third eyelid. So if it's a confined tumor on the leading edge of the third eyelid, generally that type of tumor can be cured with a complete third eyelid excision. In tumors that are occurring elsewhere, some of the common adjunctive treatments that we're using in addition to surgery include chemotherapy, which is either applied topically or injected into the tissue, strontium irradiation, cryotherapy, carbon dioxide laser therapy, and then photodynamic therapy is a newer technique that's being utilized more commonly. Photodynamic therapy is interesting. It's actually not that new, but it's increasingly available to clinicians. And so as it has become more accessible, it's being used more and more. And some early studies have shown promising results as an adjunctive treatment for eyelid SCC. So photodynamic therapy uses a photoactive dye that is injected or instilled onto the affected tissue. And then the dye is activated with a specific wavelength of light, which results in generation of reactive oxygen species leading to cell death. And this has been used not just for eyelid squamous cell carcinoma, but it's also being used as an adjunctive for ocular surface squamous cell carcinoma and some other corneal disorders. And so it'll be really exciting to see how treatment outcomes with this therapy compare to some of the longer standing adjunctive therapies.
Right. Well, I know this is going to be really dependent on, you know, how quickly you start treating the disease and what treatment options you go for and, you know, where the horse is affected. But what does the prognosis typically look like for SCC? I guess both in terms of the horse keeping its eye and just overall mortality.
Yeah, this is an excellent question. And you're right, it is really very dependent upon the tumor size and extent of disease at the time it gets recognized and treatment is initiated. And it's also really dependent upon the location of the tumor. So, for example, prognosis for a horse with a squamous cell carcinoma tumor on the leading edge of the third eyelid, that's a small tumor confined, undergoes a complete third eyelid excision with tumor-free surgical margins, that horse has a good prognosis. That tumor essentially has been cured. But the other thing you need to keep in mind, even for a successful case like that, is the horse's risk for future tumor development at other sites, either affecting that same eye or the other eye. And this needs to be considered in the discussion about overall prognosis with the owner. Similarly, early ocular surface squamous cell carcinoma, so those occurring on the conjunctiva or the cornea, when they're caught early, we generally consider these tumor types to have a pretty good prognosis if they undergo prompt treatment. And again, that would involve surgical excision of as much of the tumor as is possible, and then adjunctive treatment. Frequent monitoring following this treatment is indicated to monitor for recurrence and treat again if recurrence happens. And then different to these examples, a horse with an extensive third eyelid tumor that cannot be completely excised by third eyelid removal, or those that have regrowth of a previously excised third eyelid tumor, are generally considered to have a pretty poor prognosis. Those tumors in the third eyelid location tend to invade the orbit and can invade the periosteum of the orbital bones. They can invade the nasolacrimal system. And so getting a tumor-free margin in those cases is really quite difficult and uncommon. And once the tumor has spread into bone, it becomes essentially a disease that we can no longer cure, and palliative care is generally the recommendation. With significant bone involvement, we know these tumors cause quite significant bone pain. And so this is certainly a disease that, you know, can warrant euthanasia in certain cases. So aggressive or advanced third eyelid tumors have a poor prognosis. And then aggressive or advanced eyelid tumors that have invasion of bone would be another type that has a really poor prognosis for life.
Is prognosis at all affected by the cause of the tumor, like whether the horse was affected because of pigment in their eye or genetic variation? Does that play a role into it at all?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and certainly an area that warrants further investigation. We don't know specifically that, you know, the genetic variant increases risk for a more aggressive tumor. We do know that horses that have the genetic variant are prone to getting tumors at a really young age, younger than those that don't have it. In terms of aggressiveness, that's not something that has been directly studied as of yet.
Right. And I guess the younger they get it, probably the higher the chance of recurrence, just because there's a longer time frame that it could happen.
Yeah, the higher chance of recurrence, and also the higher the risk of additional tumors at other sites.
Okay. So how can veterinarians help horse owners prevent SCC?
Yeah, this is an excellent question. So probably the most important is to promote the routine use of UV blocking fly masks. There's a lot of different products out there, you know, that are claiming UV protection. The ones that are going to be most effective are kind of the dense, dark mesh fly masks that provide at least 90% or greater UV blocking ability. So UV protection first and foremost. Promoting the use of genetic testing for appropriate horse breeds. There is a genetic test for the variant we've discussed available through the UC Davis Veterinary Genetics Laboratory, and the appropriate breeds to use it for are the Haflinger, the Belgian Draft, the Rocky Mountain Horse, the Connemara, Holsteiners, and then Belgian Warmbloods. And again, this test can help to guide breeding decisions, you know, to attempt to minimize the production of horses that are at significantly increased risk for squamous cell carcinoma. And then frequent monitoring of at-risk horses, so horses that lack pigment around their eyes, those that are known to be genetically predisposed or are of a predisposed breed. Generally, we recommend eye exams at least every 6 months to allow for early tumor detection. And then just client education that this is really a management disease. So it's not a one and done treatment for most horses, and owners should be monitoring their horses frequently, again, to allow for early tumor detection.
Great. Well, before we wrap up today, I would love to shift focus a little bit and give you the opportunity to talk about some of your current research on genetic cataracts, if you are open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about this project, as it's been something I've been working towards since early in my training when I worked with a young quarter horse with congenital cataracts. So I recently received funding from the American Quarter Horse Foundation to investigate a genetic basis of congenital cataracts in the quarter horse breed. We know that quarter horses are significantly more commonly affected with congenital and juvenile cataracts than other horse breeds. Depending on the size, cataracts can cause vision impairment or complete blindness. And while we can perform cataract surgery, generally with pretty good outcomes for primary cataracts in young horses, it is an expensive surgery, and many owners are not willing to pursue it for a young, unproven horse. And certainly the surgery comes with no guarantee that vision will be good or, you know, suitable for the horse's intended use postoperatively. So this is a project I'm doing in collaboration with Dr. Rebecca Ballone at UC Davis. We'll be performing screening eye exams and collecting DNA samples from young cataract-affected quarter horses, as well as older quarter horses with normal eyes, and investigating genetic variants associated with cataracts through analysis of whole genome sequencing data. And the kind of the goal of this project is to determine the underlying genetic mechanism of these congenital cataracts, and then hopefully create a genetic test to guide breeding decisions in order to minimize the number of foals that are born with this problem.
Awesome. Well, that's really exciting research, and I'm looking forward to following that as the project continues. What does the timeline for research look like?
Yeah, so we just got our funding. We've actually already examined about 70 horses, and it's a year-long study.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to follow up on that next year.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up today, do you have anything else that you would like to add either on squamous cell carcinoma or any of your research?
Nope. Just a big thank you for having me. I listen to your podcast regularly, and I really enjoy learning more about these important topics in equine health.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you again to Dr. Nicolbein for joining us, and thank you to Equithrive for supporting this episode. And as always, thank you to our audience for listening to Disease Du Jour. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please send me an email at csisson@equinenetwork.com.